What an awesome God you are to come among us in Jesus. May your word now, in this 2018, speak to our hearts and our minds that we might be renewed and energized to serve you, the living God. Amen. Please be seated. There's a store I've probably only ever been in once called Bed, Bath, and Beyond. I think Diane took me there once for something, I don't know. If there was a title for the sermon, it might be called Baptism, Blessing, and Beyond. Baptism, Blessing, and Beyond. There's a song by Mike and the Mechanics from, I don't know when, the 90s, called In the Living Years. And it speaks to a gentleman and the songwriter who didn't know blessing. Let me just quote the last verse of that song. I wasn't there that morning when my father passed away. I didn't get to tell him all the things I had to say. I think I caught his spirit later that same year. I'm sure I heard his echo in my baby's newborn tears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years. In the absence of parental blessing, there can be a hole in the soul. A hole that people try to fill with all kinds of things. And it can lead to a great deal of brokenness, poor choices, addictive behaviors, or even suicidal thoughts. Am I loved? The notion of baptism, which we as Anglicans, many of us, grew up, or Catholics, or whatever your background, you grew up with the idea of being part of a church family, perhaps, and, you know, baptism, quite frankly, is something we kind of take for granted sometimes, if you don't experience it as a, you know, as someone who's older than an infant. But we're designed to live in a relationship with God the Father who wants to bless us. And the baptism is a sealing or affirmation, a public affirmation of that which is already true. For a baby, of course, that's tough. So we who have been baptized as infants perhaps need to be reminded here on this Sunday, we're looking at the baptism of Jesus, reminded of the treasure that you are and that we are in Him. You see, God the Father longs to have fellowship with you and with the Spirit who lives within you. Ever thought of that? God the Father, the Holy Spirit, wants to have fellowship with the Spirit who lives within you. So as we come from baptism to blessing, what is this blessing? It has a spiritual and a biblical origin. Did you know that? The notion of blessing. In Genesis chapter 12, we look at the story of Abraham, who is called by God to lead a nation, and his descendants will be 1.5 children. No, it'll be more than the stars of the sky and more than the sand of the sea seashore, and the families of the earth will be blessed through Abraham and Sarah. So he's given that promise and that covenant. Now, when the next generation comes along, Isaac and then Jacob and so on, all the families that come along, they, as Abraham is dying, they come to Abraham, and Abraham does what? He blesses them, right? He blesses the next generation. And what does he do? And authors Gary Smalley and John Trent, who wrote a book about this, has traced this history, and it's very interesting to see the pattern. There's at least three main parts to it. The blessing has words of affirmation. So the words might be from Abraham to Isaac, "You are Isaac. My wife laughed when you were born, and your name means laughter." And so on. He would talk about why they named him and say words, you know, about his character and so on. And then the second thing he would do, he would probably be, can I just reach it? He would probably touch him. A meaningful affirmation before he's dead. I mean, what do you do with somebody? You hold their hand at the hospital bed, right? Meaningful touch. Words of affirmation. Meaningful touch before he dies and passing on to the next generation. And the next thing he'd do, the third thing, would be to picture a special future, a wonderful special future for the son or the daughter. Picture the special future. And that's based on the character of who God is, what God has done in the past. God bless me. He said there's going to be a great family. You're going to be part of that blessing. Really? So that sense of the blessing carrying on from the words of affirmation, the meaningful touch, and the picturing a special future was passed on from generation to generation. They didn't have iPhones. They had to pass things on by word of mouth. And you had to be right. You had to be accurate. You had to get it right. Because you wanted him to know that this is the blessing. This is what God said. So the biblical notion of blessing is there. It comes all the way down the generations to Jesus. We don't know about Joseph when he died. We don't know the relationship he had with them, except when he's 12, he wanders off and gets lost in the temple. And he says, I must be about my father's business. So he already has a sense of who the father is there at age of 12. You have any precocious 12-year-old sons or granddaughters? Grandsons? Jesus being a little precocious there. So Jesus grows up in a family with Mary and Joseph and his siblings. And he grew up perhaps with some measure of whispering and questioning about who's his dad? You know, because Mary was expecting before they were actually together and married. So he perhaps grew up with some people's misunderstanding, people's criticism of him. We don't really think of Jesus that way, do we? But he probably grew up with being a bit of an outsider, perhaps. So if you've ever been ostracized or had difficulty in your childhood or ridicule, you're not alone. The Son of God knew it too. So when we come to Mark chapter 1, very few verses about the story of Jesus' baptism in Mark's gospel. John says, you know, here comes the Son, the Lamb of God. He's going to take away the sins of the world. In fact, I'm not worthy to stoop down and unvelcro his sandals. Or whatever. So John says, in his mind, he's saying, I have to be baptized by you, Jesus. That's not what happens. You think about it. You just announce that the Son of God is coming. This is the other subtitle for my sermon series through January is Mutants, Superheroes, and Zombies, Making Disciples in a Crazy World. I just couldn't quite decide which is the better title. So here's a superhero who shows up. And yet he's just an ordinary guy. But the nation of Israel was looking forward to this Messiah. John proclaims that's who it is. And boom, Jesus says he must be baptized by John. John never gets to be baptized by Jesus. Too bad. Interesting. You see, just a little bit of theology for you now. I won't dwell on it too much. It's Sunday morning and it's cold. But John represents the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the old ways. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all. He's the last guy from the Old Testament. And he butts up with Jesus, who's the first guy of the New Testament, the new compensation, the new dispensation, the new covenant of which you and I here at Christ Church are a part. In any church. We are part of the new as followers of Jesus because he expanded the circle beyond the Jews to non-Jews. Because of the Holy Spirit. So Mark chapter 1, verse 9 goes on. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. As he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a blue jay, pick your bird, dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I'm well pleased." Second last illustration. When I walk my dog Buddy, our dog Buddy, he's a golden doodle. He's 9 years old. We go for a walk. And we walk past a creek. The creek feeds into the Bowmanville Creek. I don't know. It's just a little creek. And it's behind the high school, and it's kind of a nice place to walk. I let the dog off the leash. He's wandering around. And occasionally we see ducks in the creek. And Buddy wants to, you know, chase them. He actually doesn't bark at them. He just has to walk by them. And they're flap, 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 flap. And why are there, it's freezing out. It's really cold. It's minus 400 degrees. And there's still ducks on the open water. Why are there ducks still on the open water? Everything else is frozen, but there's a little bit of a pond there where the duck. What? Anybody know? Any biologists in here? What? They need the water. That's water is actually above freezing. They're actually moderating their temperature with the flowing water. Because it's not frozen. Everything else around them is frozen. So they're actually living better because they're in the open water. There may be some measure of something to eat, some sustenance there too, and something to drink. But the open water. So my analogy here is that we are like the mallards who need to be in open water of what? The Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, the open water, the openness, the flowingness of the water. It's not, do we want to be the frozen chosen? No, we want to be open and warm and alive, right? So we have to live in the flow of the Spirit. How do you do that? Well, you don't take your baptism for granted. You remember that you are the beloved son, the beloved daughter of God. Second thing you're going to know in all of this is that Jesus was commissioned and had authority, and he also had power. You and I are also commissioned, have authority, and power. Do you know what your commission is as a Christian? What is your commission? What are you supposed to be doing? Making disciples. That's what Jesus said. The last thing he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, and so on. So you have a mission. So, Darren, maybe if I play hockey with you, I shouldn't just pray we're injury-free. We should pray about disciple-making while we're on the bench. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. The kind of place where you rub shoulders with. Is God here, too, at the hockey rink? You know, there's a lot of Jesus in the good players, right? You think, wow, that guy's really got a lot of Jesus and a lot of ability, right? Is it possible that these are somehow opportunities for us to step into the risky part of the unknown of the, you know. So we want to stay in the flow of the Spirit. We want to recognize that we have this commission and therefore authority as Jesus did. But in order to carry out that commission, we mustn't do it with an empty tank. How many times do you fill up your gas tank in a week? Once? Twice? Come to church once a week? Now, how often did Jesus fill up his tank? What did he drive? I don't know. Maybe an electric car. I think he filled up his tank every day. And not because he was so depleted at the end of the day. He enjoyed being with his Father. And I can't teach that. I can preach it as much as you like. But unless you kind of get close with Jesus and want to spend time with the Father and feel recharged and rejuvenated and delight in his presence, all it takes for me is about 6 verses of a psalm. I delight in your law, O God. I delight in you. Help me keep your statutes. You might think, what? It doesn't take a whole lot for me to feel that sense of worship and drawn into God's presence and to want to surrender my day to him and allow his Spirit to guide me. If it's just about surviving and just kind of getting through the day, let's lock the doors and shut out the lights or something. To me, the work of the Spirit is about invading the impossible. It's about going to march off the map. Going to places that we hadn't thought we could go. Places in the Spirit, places in Oshawa, places in the world, places in your marriage. I don't know what it's going to mean exactly for you. But I think that if we've been identified as the beloved of God, We've been given a commission, an authority to carry that commission, and empowered to do so by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not just so that I have a nice, comfy life or that the pews are filled. There is a maturity that you and I are called to, a maturity in Christ that we have some control over. We do. And it shows up in our attitude, it shows up in our choices, it shows up in how we feed our souls. But it's not just about me, it's about enjoying the fellowship with God the Father who loves us so much. It doesn't mean necessarily the circumstances are going to change, but you never know. It could. Psalm 67 says, God, be merciful to us and bless us. Cause your face to shine on us that your way may be known upon earth and your saving power among all nations. I met a woman after one of the services this morning from Trinidad. And she was born in Trinidad. She says, I've never known a canon except when I was a little girl named Canon Rourke in Trinidad. People from all over the world here. It's wonderful to be able to celebrate that. But we mustn't be complacent or take it for granted. Last illustration. Conduct my first funeral here on Friday morning at 11. And a gentleman's name was Leroy Cole. Leroy had attended here for 30 years. He was married to his wife. She was an older mom, person to be married, and he wanted to be baptized, and he was in 1988 here in the font. And then they had their first child, Adam. Adam spoke at his father's funeral. He's 29. And his wife, Lindsay, read the psalm, and his widow, Marie, was at the service this morning. Gentleman spoke to me after the lunch, and I don't remember his name, but he said he worked with Leroy for 25 years. Here's an example of the work of the Holy Spirit in somebody's life. The friend said of Leroy, you know, all you people at the front, all the things you said about Leroy are true. I saw him at work for 25 years, and he was somebody I could trust. There were 500 people in DuPlate, and he was the one I could trust. Typical thing. He'd give you the shirt off his back, I think is one of the things he said. He had just great admiration for the trustworthy, faithful man that he was. Is that the Holy Spirit working in his life? I think so. So I'm not talking about necessarily spectacular things. It might be. Or it might be how God is shaping our character or needs to reshape us in the ways of faith and integrity in our families. So we pray when you come up to the queue at blessing time. I have three things in my mind I want to pray for you. I want to pray words of affirmation, regardless of your childhood, your present set of circumstances, that God is affirming you as a beloved son or daughter. And I will gently, if with permission, just place my hands on your shoulder or on your forehead and to offer some meaningful touch. I'm not your dad, right? I can't replace that father-daughter, father-son relationship, but I stand in the name of Jesus and offer that word of affirmation for you with meaningful touch. And the last thing is that we will picture a special future for you. Now, I don't know, some of you, I know your names, I don't know everybody here yet, but oh, I trust that over time, this is the first time we've done this, that I've done this here. I assume that you've done this before, the blessing of families, that as we get to know each other, you might be able to bless me too as I ask for God's special future to be pictured for you and for the future. There may be people with a prophetic gift here, a spirit of the prophecy, and if that's the case, then they actually can see into God's heart for the future. We can talk about more of that another time. Have you felt like you've learned something? Do you know something more? Okay, if you're not clear, remember the children's focus. There was a bottle of water and there was water pouring over the top. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is overflowing us so that we can be a blessing to others. Okay, that's what that illustration is about. And how do I want you to feel? I want you to feel encouraged to come forward for prayer. And what I want you to do, read your Bible before next week. And if you're not good with reading it, have your wife read it to you, or have the computer read it to you, something like that. It's possible to do this. Are there any questions, any thoughts, concerns? Desley White, a Jamaican migrant farm worker, had come to Bowmanville from Jamaica. He used to say, and I'll end with this, "I'm too blessed to be stressed."